Hold on, is the mic on? Episode 109, What's Wrong with Orny Adams? This is like a vacation.
Yes.
This will be easy for me today. My guest is Jeremy Hotz.
Yes. See, you just bring on guys that have more stuff that's wrong with them, and you have an easy go. That's all there is to it.
That's all I have to say is my guest is Jeremy Hotz.
That's it. The guy's got issues.
And if we had recorded the previous 5 minutes,
we'd both have been canceled.
Yes. Well, you specifically.
Well, I've been canceled 5 or 6 times.
What for?
I don't know. I think they don't like the shape of my nose.
Come on.
They can see it coming 5 miles away.
For the people that don't know, and I can't imagine who that is, don't know Jeremy Hotz, you're one of the you're naturally funny. You're the real deal.
Well, that's why we're friends, because I met you a long time ago with that stupid hat at the festival. Remember that straw hat? And we were like friends immediately, because I thought, this guy's really funny, and he has no clue that's a stupid hat. So I loved you the whole time.
The hat was a crutch, wasn't it?
No, you were funny right away. You know that, right?
Yeah.
When you first came from Boston, because I found that out later, you were funny right away at the festival. And then Bruce put us on that Jewish show, remember? Because we're both Jews.
Ethnic. It was called the Ethnic Show.
But it was only Jews.
Right.
So.
Oh, no. There was a Sunday bagel brunch.
It was two Jews. And because it was in Montreal, there was a French Canadian. And they called it the Ethnic Show.
And Dom Herrera hosted.
And Dom Herrera hosted. Because he's kind of Italian.
Yeah.
I loved him. Yeah. And I thought he was. The festival.
Is he dead?
No, but you know what I mean? When we were doing the festival every year and Dom was there every year too, I loved those days.
Yeah.
That was something.
All right. So for the people that don't know, Jeremy Hotz is a Canadian comedian, now an American comedian, is holding a dog named Shaq.
Yes.
But Jeremy, you're really a funny guy. And we happen to be in a business that's lacking funny people.
You think that Orange, because of the big change is what you're talking about, the big movement.
What's the big change?
The big move. Well, you know, older guys kicked out and younger people coming up. The bowel movement of comedy.
I think I had this discussion with somebody else that's sort of in our age range. I think comedy has changed. I think much like music evolves.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so like we're singing doo-wop, and now it's hip hop. So. It's evolved. And what was funny to us is no longer funny to this new generation.
You feel that?
I do.
Interesting.
But I also feel funny is funny.
That's right. Jokes are jokes. And that's why.
And so there are very few naturally funny people. Dom Herrera is one of them.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. And I love him. And he's the greatest guy. And you're funny, naturally funny. But some people, you're right. Some people are very good writers and they write really good bits and then they go up and they say them. I'm not one of those guys.
It's not only that, but it's manufactured. They're taking mannerisms from here. They're taking expressions from here. They're taking topics. Like if you want to be a paint-by-number comedian, you can be.
But you cannot. Okay. They're relying on their strength as a writer to move forward. You understand that, right? And they're not natural performers. Therefore, it has to be learned, I believe, with them. So there you're seeing influences by other comics coming through because they can't think of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Me and you, we just go up there and feel more comfortable than we're off stage, right?
It's crazy,
so
isn't it?
So that's the way it is. That's the way it is for us.
Yeah.
We don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Our problem is, I don't want to write anything today. What the hell? That's our problem.
Yeah.
I'd just rather sit here by the pool, naked.
Ooh, gross. You just turned into John Lovitz. What just happened there?
I never turned into Lovitz.
Yeah, you just turned into Lovitz.
No, I'm naturally funny.
So we would do, oh, jeez. Slam on Lovitz.
Come on, he's a good guy.
He is a great guy. What happened to him?
I don't know. He was on Saturday Night Live, then he was in the clubs, and then I didn't see him again. That's it. That's all I know.
And he owned a club.
He did. He had the club at the Universal Studios where the tourists go, right?
And he's such a nice guy. I love John.
He is the nicest, yeah.
Did you ever
play that club?
Sure did.
I never got to.
Why?
It was closed right when I was going to.
Mm.
Yeah, really did two pass. It wasn't there long, eh? About a year, right?
No, I think longer.
Oh, maybe he just hates me.
How long, when did you come to America? When did you make that big?
It's a holiday now. They've made it a national holiday. It's the day I left Canada and the whole country cheered.
Wait a minute. So it's a holiday for Canada.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying America was celebrating.
No, them too. They're just happy I'm still out of jail.
Are you, you've never done time.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Like the other prisoners would kick me out.
Do you always have gum in your mouth? I'm just noticing.
I do.
Why is that?
Because I used to chew the Nicorette.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
And then I got hooked on the gum. And then the doctor said, you know, you've been chewing this for so many years, you probably don't even need it anymore. So I just chewed regular gum. And he was right, that doctor. I didn't need it anymore.
So you're addicted to gum now?
Yeah, just to gum. Trident.
Oh.
It's probably worse than you for the Nicorette is probably because of the chemicals.
How many pieces do you chew at a time?
I chew a pack of gum a day. But you know what? The sugarless stuff makes you fart horribly. Like, not just a regular fart, like a chemical weird fart that you have to get out immediately.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
It's from aspartame. Aspartine? Yeah. Aspartine? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah, it's a fake sugar.
For some people.
So not good for you.
Not for Hotsy.
Yeah.
It's very anti-Semitic, that.
What year? We should have a bell for every Jewish reference you make. What year is this holiday when you left Canada?
I left in 96.
Oh. Shit, are you a citizen now?
Oh, yeah, I had to. I held that off for the longest time because of jury duty.
Oh, really?
Remember the thing that comes in the mail that goes jury duty?
Yeah, it's
panic. But if you're from Canada, you get to write in not born in America, and they're not an American citizen, and therefore you don't have to serve on jury. So I got that away with that for 10 years, and then they phoned me and said, cut it out. You gotta get your citizen.
Have you been in? It's so easy to get off, because we're smarter than them. And you can be, I'm a wise ass, and then I get booted from the panel I do.
You say, like, I'm gonna convict him if you're one of those guys that starts screaming like
They'll say things like, do you believe in circumstantial evidence? And I'll say, no, if I think the guy's guilty, you don't have to really prove it. I don't believe in beyond reasonable doubt.
So
if I suspect the guy did something or the woman, I'm voting guilty.
So you're showing up like an asshole, just like, but you're really like that. You're pretending.
It's what I do believe that. Like this beyond, I don't like when people are let off on technicalities.
It happens all the time.
Was it proven enough?
Yeah.
You know, if my gut says, so I've been thrown off of and the judges love me because I'm within this, like, I'm sort of exaggerating, you know, telling a story here, but the truth is that one lawyer tried to school everybody on circumstantial evidence once, and I broke down his argument, like, so definitively, so fast, that the judge was going like this at the bench. He was just like shaking his head, like, I can't believe this.
Well, you know what? When you do that to a lawyer and the judge sees it, that's the most joy you can give him.
And
he knew
I was right. So when I got dismissed, now they don't know what you do. You don't say what you do for a living.
Oh, they used to ask you what you did.
I would say entertainment.
Oh, okay.
I would never say stand up.
Okay.
And so when I got thrown off, the judge loved me because I kept fighting everything. And so the judge,
Seen you do that.
Yeah.
With people. I've seen when you get like that.
Yeah. As I was
you just
walking.
Argue completely.
Oh, I
yeah.
love it. Just
yeah.
for the sake. It's
yeah,
a game.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's some people play Sudoku or whatever. I'm just, so I.
You poke the bear and you just keep doing it.
I love it. As I'm walking out of the courthouse, I hear the judge yell, are your tour dates up on your calendar?
Oh, he knew.
So he knew.
He knew.
He knew.
He knew.
He knew.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you come from Canada, and we met at this Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, which did so much for my career.
Was
early
that your
on.
First time ever?
Ever what?
So what year was that when I met you? 2000, right?
Yeah, I want to say like 1998.
It was my second one. It was my second one, and your first one is when that happened. That's what it was. Yeah.
I went up there.
That's right.
And, you know, I would do it completely different now, knowing what I know. And
you were there really young. You were friggin' young, man, when you got the festival for the first time. What were you, 24?
No, that was, the Straw Hat was the second one.
Oh.
So what happened was I went up there initially, and I was part of a documentary, and we were filming the documentary, and I was doing new faces. Yeah. I ended up getting a big deal with Warner Brothers Television.
Yeah.
And it was all, you would have hated it. I was getting so much attention. You know how when people get a lot of attention,
yeah,
comics don't like that.
No, that's what happens in Montreal, though.
Yeah.
As soon as you do new phases, they come running right up to you. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Right.
I remember that year that happened to me. It's a very nervous year.
Mm.
And it ruins your festival, is what it does.
It's not fun. Everybody's on you. The newspapers are covering. I was on the front page of the Canadian papers.
Festival, like I did too, man. Yeah. And then you're what you're saying right now is it actually ruins your festival. And because you've been more than once, so you know.
Yes.
When they're not paying as much attention to you is when you have a really good time.
Yeah. Right. But we're also there for business.
But we did it that. We got the business out of the way.
Yeah.
So now leave us alone.
Right.
That's it, right?
Right.
We proved ourselves.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
Go make another guy prove himself. Leave us alone.
The rub on that festival was it's always harder to get in as a Canadian than as an American. Is that true?
Well, I was first, so I don't know. They leaned on me first to get, I killed that first time I did it, and then I was their golden boy, so I never really went through that.
Mm.
So I don't have that gripe. Mm. However, I did hear that from pretty much every other Canadian stand-up comic.
Yeah. You know? So this festival, this was the gold standard. As a comic, you wanted this. You wanted either the Tonight Show with Letterman, and you wanted the Montreal Comedy Festival. There were no other festivals. There was no Aspen. There was no Los Angeles. There was no Austin.
Aspen together, too, didn't we?
I think so.
Oh, I did it with you, didn't I?
I think so,
yeah. I only did it the one time, because then it was... That wasn't around long at all.
No. That was HBO.
The HBO Aspen Festival was not around long.
Yeah.
And that was fun, though, remember? Remember how dry it was? You used to... I washed my clothes and then I just left them on the bed. And when I came back to the room, they were dry. That's crazy.
Wait, you're doing laundry in the hotel room?
I had to. I ran out of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, that happens to me. Because I'm single, so I don't buy a lot of stuff. And I like stuff, I have favorite shirts and stuff. So then I just wear them all the time.
Yeah,
I'm that
too.
Guy, you know?
You feel comfortable.
Well, you don't have a woman going, don't wear that 9 days in a row, you moron. Look at the yellow stain under your arms.
But I've seen you in relationships.
Yes. I'm very charming and I get really good looking women.
It's remarkable.
It's shocking.
It's shocking.
I have a reputation for that.
It makes me sad.
I never asked them. They start it.
They start it?
Yeah.
And you end it.
I end it.
I'm sure.
How I get them in the first place? I stand next to them looking really sad.
You must be impossible to date.
Oh, no. No, I'm very charming in the dark.
In the dark. Well, let's start with the fact that I asked you to do this podcast at 11 a.m.
Yes.
And you said, I'm still sleeping.
I can't.
So I've been up. We're on completely opposite schedules. I've been up since 5:30 a.m. today.
Why?
I get up.
You have a paper route?
Yeah, I do.
Why? Why?
I do. I deliver to all my neighbors. I go down to the corner store and I get the paper and I throw it at their houses.
Why did you get up so early? Is that just your time?
It's mine. I'm a natural.
I'm a night owl. I stay up all night and sleep long during the day.
I've
always been like that.
Sounds depressing.
Well, you know.
Like I asked you the other day, we were at the Improv. I said, wait a minute, you go to bed at 5:30 a.m.?
Yeah, about 4 or 5, yeah.
What are you doing from midnight to 5?
That's when I write my magnificent act.
Oh, it is? Are you doing substances? Are you drinking?
Of course not. Of course not.
You drink. You definitely drink.
I'm trying to convert to Christianity.
Okay. Do you want a beer? I have a beer fridge behind you.
I want a beer? Jeez. Jeez, I'm in a van and I'm going to drink a beer?
Yes.
Come on, how ghetto am I today?
What do you mean? I've never seen you without a beer.
That's true. That's true. I hold them for, I use it as a prop, eh? Have you ever
seen a prop that you drink?
No.
I saw you at the bar. You were drinking at the bar after the show.
After, yes.
Yes.
But have you not noticed?
I don't
ever even take a sip.
Really?
No, I pick it up and do it. Some people yell, drink it from the crowd. Yeah. They do that to
So
me.
Why do you need that as a comedian?
Just to hold. It's an anxiety. You know I have generalized anxiety.
Yeah, you've got a dog
and
here.
And I hold something. I have to hold something and that's part of it. Yes. Yeah, oh, fuck yeah.
Explain this anxiety.
Oh, well, okay. You know, you can just take a piss, right?
What do you mean?
When you got to take a piss, you can just take a piss.
You mean urinate?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll just stand there for like 20 minutes. thinking that I have to take a piss really quickly, or then it won't. Like, I'll do, you see what I'm saying to you?
Is it your prostate, or is this mental?
It has nothing to do with it.
How long has this been going on for?
This is what you do, though. You go and think, oh, I've got prostate cancer. So you go in, and the guy goes, no, there's nothing wrong with your prostate at all. And you go, wow, I just took that trip. Had a man stick his finger up my ass for no reason.
Yeah.
See how bad a thing it is?
Yeah.
It's a bad thing.
I don't understand. So when you go to the bathroom, every time?
No. If I'm going to get on a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, what if I have to do something and I got that sort of thing, that's what it does.
Right.
If you close the front door and you go to the car, I'll walk back 5 or 6 times and go, oh, I didn't close that.
Mm.
5 or 6 times.
Until the shrink like, went. You'll check and see if it's locked and everything?
Until the shrink went, don't ever go back. That's what you do. You never go back. And so I've been robbed 3 times.
No, you have. Have you ever gone back and it wasn't locked?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Morning. Oh, then I disagree with your shrink. Morning. You should just keep going back.
Warning, I'm bad with fire, okay?
So what do you mean with fire?
I'm bad with fire. Yeah. I'm the guy that's bad with fire. So I went out and I was boiling some chicken for Shaq because he...
That's your dog.
He's spoiled and he eats boiled chicken with his kibble. So I'm boiling chicken and I go, I got to go to Gelson's because I got to get something to eat. And I've forgotten that I've left the thing on. So I get home and there's a fire engine on my street.
Oh, no.
There's a fire engine on my street. And I walking there and I look at the guy and he goes, are you going in here? And I went, yeah. And he goes, okay, because we got to get to number 5. And I go, that's me. And then I went, oh, I left the pot on the stove. And he just looked at me like this and he went, all right. And he rolled his eyes and they walked to their giant fire engine and drove away.
But wait a minute. Why were they called if there was no fire that they had to attend to?
Because the alarm in my house
had gone
was
off.
Going wee like that. And you could hear it down the neighborhood. That's what happened. You know, I just went to Gelson's. What are the chances?
I didn't know you were doing that well that you can shop at Gelson's.
And that's not
you've done well.
That's not the only thing. That's the second time the fire trucks came. Okay, the first time. You know, I was making a fire, you know? Yeah. You know those logs, those ones that burn for 4 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, like, I had one of those in, and, like, I thought it was out, so I put it in a paper bag, and
you can't do
garbage.
That. You can't be that dumb.
Yeah! And then I go down, because I got to throw something else in the garbage, and I look in the garage, and I go, wow, it's really foggy in here. I wonder why it's so foggy. And then I walk in, and I smell fire, and I go, holy shit, I lit the garbage can on fire.
You're the worst neighbor. How have you not been thrown out of this community?
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew. There's no cameras?
Nobody knew. Nobody said anything to me.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Like, I've gotten away with things like on that. Okay, I have generalized anxiety disorder, so I didn't take my pills. And the next pill that I took was empty. So 2 days in a row where I didn't have my pills.
How's a pill empty?
It just didn't have the stuff in it. You know what I mean? Like, if you shape. So I got a bad thing. So I took, it was 2 days without my pills in a row, and I didn't know the second day. So I'm feeling really bad. So I call a doctor and I go, I think I'm having a heart attack. I don't feel well. And he goes, no, this is anxiety. Just, you know, take one of your pills. And I'm like, no, that's not a real doctor. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. So I hop in the car and I'm going to drive.
Wow.
I woke up the next day and my car was on the sidewalk.
Oh, where?
Right in front of my house.
Oh, so you didn't leave?
I guess not. I guess not. And guess what happened? No ticket, no nothing. My car was just sitting on the sidewalk. Nothing happened.
So this is very debilitating.
Yeah, can be. You gotta be really careful.
Let me ask you a question. What did it take to come up here today?
No, I was okay.
You were okay.
We're buddies.
Okay.
You know, it's not
because I was worried about asking for that reason.
Yeah, I know.
And then I thought he's never going to show up. Well, I was just waiting all day for you to cancel. But you're here early.
Once I say what I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I show up early, give Shaq a little time to take a walk before I go into the thing, and then that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
But I've had some issues, like when I did the Byron Allen show the last time. Like, I had a total issue where I couldn't, I couldn't feel my feet walking across the floor. That thing. Yeah.
I think it's awful. I think there was a night we were at the Laugh Factory and you were elected not to go on.
That happens.
And what is
rare.
That?
It's rare.
What is that?
It's rare. Just like something horrible is about to happen to me. And I don't want to die in front of people. See? I don't want to die. I don't want to be like death.
Heart attack.
I don't die and have people see me die.
Where does that come from?
I don't know.
I met your brother.
He's a psychologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a great thing. He goes, well, you know, your problem is hot. He calls me hot.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I go, yeah. He goes, I'm a psychologist, so I know. And he goes, you're nuts. That's my brother, Steve.
That's so funny. I met him
when we
were on tour together.
Yeah, I bring him on tour to get my head, you know, for the first show.
That's what I suspected. Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
He follows me around and he goes, keep your energy up. They're all here to see you. He just says positive things that I never come into my head.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know when you feel real good about yourself and you're walking around with your chest puffed out?
Yeah.
I never get that.
Yes, you do.
Not much.
Yes, you do.
Right as soon as I finish stand-up for about 2 minutes, and then, you just fluked it.
Well, I mean, you were, the other night, you were very cocky. You were like, oh, we're doing Halifax together.
We were.
And I'm like, I said, what night are you doing it? And he said, Saturday. You go, how are the tickets? I was like, sold out.
I did sell it.
I sell out everywhere. I sell out. So you do at times.
I do sometimes. But it's not the predominant thing in my personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm much more self-effacing, as you know.
Yeah.
As you know. I mean, it's in my act. And, you know, you have more confidence than I do about that sort of thing.
Mm.
You do. Yeah. But I've seen you when you get, you know, anxious as well. So,
yeah.
But you don't have the sickness, which is, I wouldn't wish on anybody. Mm. You know what I mean? It just makes you feel like you're a piece of shit. You know?
Yeah.
That's all. Hey, could be worse, man. Without this, I'm guessing I'm not funny at all.
Yeah. But...
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
I really,
Orny. I mean, I'm funny.
Your brother's funny. Yeah, that was very funny what you just said.
Yeah. He's funny. Yes.
What happens if you're playing a large venue, a theater, and you have a panic attack like this?
It isn't about that. It could be the smallest show of all time in front of seven people.
But what do you do if it's a big show? Like at the Laugh Factory, you elected not to perform.
That night.
You couldn't do that if you had 2,000 people there that bought tickets.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
So far, so good.
Oh, good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So far, I'm excited enough to want to get out there to do it.
Is it hard to get out of bed?
Some days, yeah. Because what happens with generalized anxiety disorder is after you feeling anxious for so long, it makes you feel depressed. Right. See what it leads to? That's the problem. So you got to fight that.
Yeah.
But I don't really have that. I have the anxiety thing of it, which is too bad. But it, you know, it could be worse. You know, I mean, it's I have the next step up from what Howie Mandel has with the washing the hands stuff.
Mm.
This is the next step up. That's all.
So you're higher than Howie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Howie was my last guest.
Yeah,
I'm two Canadians in a row.
Yeah.
So he has it worse than you.
Well, he's a different thing that's not as debilitating, but it still stinks what he has.
What he has
stinks. It's awful.
He also hates silence.
Yeah, well.
He's got to sleep with the TV on. He has to have people around him all the time.
He can't shake your hand. It's awful. He can't touch people. He thinks he's going to, you know, they're going to. Imagine what COVID did to him. Jesus.
Well, he was depressed.
I can't imagine.
He was depressed. He talked about it on my podcast.
Of course he did. He probably led his life every day. He was just thinking about it. It must have been horrible.
But my thing is, for both of you, life is hard enough. When you're not working, can we say a sick brain? Is that okay to say?
Yeah, it's not really sick. But, different thoughts is what they say.
Yeah, with a different brain that works against you.
It does.
And it's harder. You know, I had yesterday, I was just sort of like, I'm just not in the mood. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, and I was getting in my head.
Yep.
And then, ding, I get an email from the improv. We've got to move your Brea date.
Just because they had to move it. Nothing to do with you, right?
Well, what do I think?
Of course. You're like me that way. Of course. You're going to go, oh, they think I'm a piece of shit. Of course. Yeah.
Are my ticket sales not good?
Right.
Did I say something to somebody? Did I?
Oh, you see.
Who more popular than me is now taking my date? There's also. What is that?
It's my phone.
Oh, my God.
I should have turned it off.
Yeah, it should be on silence.
Should it?
Yeah.
I'm unprepared. Shut it off.
Jeremy Hotz is my guest. This is a good time for me to tell you, Orny Adams, this is where I will be performing while Jeremy Hotz is on his call. April 18th, I invite you to come see me in Las Vegas at Kimmel's Comedy Club.
Are you going to Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy
Club? I do it all the time, every other month.
And that's where you play in Vegas?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm going to go and see you then.
I hope you do.
I am.
I'd love to work with you.
Because Harry's club is closed.
Yes. But you gambled on the wrong club.
But Howie's... But he's going to open another one, Harry, right?
Yes, I hope so. I love Howard.
Didn't you do Harry's Club, too?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
I did, but then Kimmel's gave me a contract, multi-date contract per year, and I took it.
Oh, okay.
I took it.
Okay.
May 4th, I'll be in Los Angeles at the Kookaburra Lounge for the Netflix is a Joke Festival.
Where are you going?
It's called the Kookaburra Lounge.
Oh, yeah. You know what that's next to? The fucking sucky place.
It's next to the massage place where they take care of you at the end.
That's right.
It's the Kookaburra Lounge. It's not going to age well, Hartswin. This is the biggest club now in Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm opening. I'll be there May 4th, Saturday, May 4th. May 10th.
Yes.
I'll be in Halifax, Canada.
No way.
At the Spats Theater. For the festival.
That's right. I'm doing that with you. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm doing it the night after
but
you.
But we're all part of the festival.
I really hope I get to see you. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, the night after, I will be May 11th at Yuck Yucks in Ottawa.
Howie Wagman.
Which is where you're from.
I'm from there.
Could you look into the camera and tell your friends and family in Ottawa?
Hi.
Yeah.
I should have said something else.
No, I think maybe you.
Oh,
you're an endorsement.
Oh, plug your thing. Oh, go see my friend Orny Adams at Yuck Yucks in Ottawa.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I might be there. And then he'll introduce me, and then I'll stand up, and he'll go, this is my good friend. You may know him. And then I'll wave, and then I'll sit down again.
I'd love that.
It's the greatest thing
when
you do that.
If that sells tickets, go for it.
Yeah.
Except you'll be at Halifax.
I'll be in Halifax doing the set. So you're going just for one show to Ottawa?
Two shows.
Oh, good. That's good. You'll kill. You'll have so much fun.
Yes.
Howie's a really nice guy. He'll look after you. He'll take care of you. He's a really good guy. Had a really good time.
Well, I was introduced to him by Tom Green.
Tommy's a good guy, too. He's from Ottawa.
Yeah.
He's another guy. He's doing stand-up now. Did you know that?
I think Tom's a great stand-up.
Yeah, I do. I think he's a good guy.
He's a good
That's
guy.
All that matters.
He's a really good guy. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the Canadians are very competitive. So sometimes you name another Canadian and they don't talk. And I'm friends with more Canadian comics than American ones, which is fascinating. But
you're from Boston. You have a very Canadian way about you, and your sense of humor is that.
That is a compliment.
Well, it's your sense of humor too. It's like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You have very British. You have British roots in you as well, and so does Canada for some reason. You must have seen some stuff, or you ever see like the Benny Hill show or the Carry On Gang or any of those English garbage troops from before? Did you watch Monty Python when you were a kid? You did.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, well, that's a little later. Yeah.
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap's brilliant, man.
Genius.
Brilliant.
Genius.
I mean, that's one of my favorite movies of all. You know, there's another one, right?
Yeah.
He's making another one, they said.
That's a little too late.
You think?
It's a little too late.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be funny.
You know what was good, too? Was the Pink Panther.
The first one?
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Yeah, the first ones, they were great.
Yeah.
And then that Italian guy did it. Remember later? Robert Benellini or something?
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know. He was in the bicycle thing, too. The Bicycle Thief. Was that him?
Oh, that's the same guy. You're right. That was a sad movie, man.
Yeah.
That was an anti...
Well, I'll tell you what I love about Canada. You guys have a sense of humor about your country.
Well, like, we can cut ourselves down.
Yeah.
Americans don't like to do that.
No.
They like to be world champions in everything.
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 Yeah. That's why they don't like hockey. Not enough Americans play in the league, I think. That's what it is. And I think that's why baseball dropped off. Too many Spanish players. I think that's what it is. I really believe that.
Yeah.
I think Americans are horribly racist.
I was thinking this would be a great clip to edit and put out there of you, and then you said too many Spanish people. I go, oh no, now we can't have that in there. Even if it's true, I don't know what the demographics
I'm just
of baseball
that's
are.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But
you
it
can't
is.
Say what it is anymore, unfortunately.
Why?
In this day and age. I don't know, but I love it, and I
Did
do
you,
love.
Let me tell you something about baseball that's really funny. I don't know if this is the right name, but the most common name. In Major League
Baseball,
don't
hit this thing. Yeah.
Is Luis Fernandez. I'm telling you, look it up, it's true. And one of the guys changed his
How
name.
How many are there?
Like six. And one of the guys changed his name to Luis Fernandez Jr., so it would be different.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you know this fact?
Because they said it on Major League Baseball. So if you can say it on there,
yeah, must
I
be,
can say it.
Must be true.
It's true.
Yeah.
But it might not be the right name, but it is Spanish.
Yeah.
That I know.
So your joke should be, you know why Americans don't like too many people named Louis, whatever
Luis
it is.
Luis Fernandez.
I was going to say Louis Fernandez. From the guy who booked Carolines. What was this? Louis Ferranda.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. right.
Another guy that never liked me. There's So I think with the improv... With the improv.
That's what Jews do. They just sit there and go, another guy that didn't like me all day.
Yeah, you ever date a non-Jewish woman? And oh, I'm like, wow. You'll go, that guy doesn't like me. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But we know.
Yeah.
We know. Yeah. We've been unliked our entire lives.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We can just, so I, now.
You know who doesn't like us the most? Other Jews. Yes, yes. They hate us the most.
So I'm emailing with the improv booking office and I'm saying, well who's, you know, and they said, oh, it's a budget thing, everything but they'll put a bigger act in there that's going to sell more. That's what I think.
When did this happen? Is this recent or is it a while ago?
That's what we're talking about. So yesterday, okay. I had one of those days where I just wasn't in the mood. So I have a problem where I have to get everything done right away. Mm-hmm. So if at 10 p.m., ding, you have a new bill, I go right over to my computer and pay it. Like, I have to get stuff done. And
that's OCD.
Okay, call it what
it
you
is,
want.
It is. You
I
to,
call it getting shit done.
But do you line stuff up on the table to do it in a row?
No.
Okay, so you're not crazy.
No way. No way.
But you do. You have slightly. You're slightly OCD, but you use it to your advantage.
I'd feel more comfortable.
You're getting stuff done.
If it was your brother diagnosing me right now,
listen.
Not you
can
know.
I tell you something about my brother? Because he's diagnosed me so many times, I know more about psychology than him now.
Oh, I bet you do. I bet you know which pills to prescribe.
I know the good ones.
You know the good ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
How many? You must have tried everything.
Well, what happens is when they stop working, they got to try you on something else. And then you get really sick for a while.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's when I'm at my worst. Like, that's when I have things like I can't go on. That's when things like at the Byron Allen thing happen, when I'm in between medications and they haven't started to work yet and the old one isn't working anymore. Yeah. Bang.
Yeah.
That's oh, by the way,
Byron Allen. Byron Allen, another guy that doesn't like me.
Why?
I got thrown off his show.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. I tell the story on maybe
what
the
did you
second
say?
Of the, it's not what I said. Tom Green got me thrown off.
Yeah, that's possible.
Tom Green.
No, Greeny could do that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he tried to eat one of the fish from the fish tank. Then he went in the audience.
Well, that's Tom does that.
He turned the audience against me. It was...
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
It was such a great story. So he goes into the audience.
Did they air it at least?
No, they completely edited around it. In fact, Mark Maron's on my podcast. I'm trying to think of who else was on it.
That stinks.
Oh, God, it was so funny. So... He goes, he tries to eat the fish, Tom Green. This is on the Byron Allen show. Tries to stick his hand in the shark tank and grab. So now the producers come out. He starts running away with a wet hand into the audience. And they're in panic mode.
Wet hand.
For sure.
Because you dug it deep in the tank.
Oh, it was a deep shark tank. You don't put a shark in a shallow tank. That's animal abuse. Peter will be on
Greeny
you.
And sticks his arm in it? Yeah. Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah. So then he runs into the audience. Okay?
Of course he does.
And Mark Maron's on the show. I have another hat on this show. Not the straw hat. Different
you and
hat. You would hate this hat too. Interesting story why I was wearing a hat. Bad haircut. Thought it was a good idea that met a girl after a show and I went back to her place and she was a hairdresser. I said, why don't you cut my hair?
Oh, you idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
Now I'm wearing a hat on the Byron Allen
oh
show.
Oh, my God.
So...
So you left and you had a bad haircut and chlamydia.
Yeah,
jeez, so, double combo.
No, all I got was a bad haircut. So now he goes into the audience. He's facing us sitting there on the panel. And he goes, Ornie, he goes, you're a stand-up comic. You work on the road every week. How much does this audience suck?
Oh, jeez.
I go, yeah, they're pretty bad.
Yeah, you can't win on that one.
Right.
You can't
so,
win.
So, after...
And you got to answer him because he's your buddy and you got to help him in that situation.
And they did suck, and that's why he instinctually knew, I'm going to get up and save the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to infuse it with energy. I'm going to stick my hand in the shark tank.
And it backfired.
Oh, and by the way, George Wallace was on the panel.
Oh, boy, I love Georgie. Jeez.
George is great.
Sounds like a great lineup and a really shitty crowd to
right.
me.
So, I go upstairs. And first person I run into is Norm MacDonald. And Norm is backstage. And he's going on the next show.
Yeah.
And Norm goes, Norm said, so you're, he goes, we're on the next show together. Or whatever, however his voice is. And I said, actually, I just got thrown off the that the show and they asked me not to do the second episode. I was supposed to do two episodes. They would film.
They actually threw you off during the taping?
No.
That's crazy.
They let the taping finish, but then a producer came up to me and they said, we think it might be better if you don't do the second show. And I kind of agreed because it was the same audience. They weren't going to turn the audience over. So the audience already hated me.
You know how low rent that is to use the same audience a second time with other. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying it's okay. You had a panic attack on this show, so.
Oh no, I know. I understand that.
So, so Norm.
I know.
Norm goes. Who's this Byron? Starts really bad mouthing Byron Allen. A PA comes over and shuts off Norm's mic. So Norm's mic was on.
It's like that guy that in the bathroom that said he murdered the people. What's the guy?
Yeah, the jinx. The jinx guy. Yeah. I killed them all.
I killed everyone.
Yeah. Now the documentary gets good now that I'm alone in the bathroom.
I love how we laugh at that. We die laughing at it. Because what a knob.
What an idiot. Everybody knows when the mic is on.
What a moron.
I'm sure Norm knew the mic was on. He didn't care.
It's true.
So now.
Norm wanted to get kicked off, obviously.
This is why Norm is the legend.
Yeah.
So Norm, I used to open for Norm. So I was close with him. And Norm goes on the show. And you know how Byron does it? He asks these questions that don't even link up. You know, they'd be like, so, Jeremy, you're from Canada?
Yeah.
What are the dogs like in Canada? Yeah. You're like, what are you talking about? So they're going around. It's about 5 minutes into the show. I'm still upstairs in the green room in shock that I got thrown off. In fact, I was talking to Schimmel. I was talking to the late Schimmel. But I'm in shock. I'm afraid to leave. I don't even know if I had a car to take me home. I probably had to take a bus to go. And so anyway, Norm, Byron finally says, hey, Norm. He goes, I have a question for you, Norm. And he asks a question, and Norm says, I have a question for you. Where's Ornie Adams?
God.
Caught. They had to cut the production again. They had to stop.
They stopped the shooting to pick it up somewhere else to get it out of the show?
Well, because Norm said, where's Ornie Adams? He was sticking up for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you, when were you introduced to Norm?
Oh, he was started... at the same time as me. He came up from Ottawa. We both started in the same club, and then we moved, is what happened.
Was he was an older than you? Or?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
A little, yeah.
Did he always have that persona?
Yeah. That was Norm.
Hmm.
Norm was a very strange dude and very funny guy right from the start. Very different. Very interesting man. Very handsome guy, too. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
Really had leading man looks. I thought he was the best guy that ever did the news on SNL.
I used to write for him.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I would submit.
That stuff? The SNL stuff when he was reading the stuff?
No, they had a team of writers.
Oh, okay.
I would submit. I opened for him in Boston, and we became close after that.
Oh, that's good. That's a really nice guy, because he had a really big heart.
He
was a really nice guy.
And smart.
You know, he had the cancer, like, in Canada before, eh?
Right. Stomach cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it came back, and years later, and eventually got him. But he was cured of that. I remember when he was sick in Canada still. It was really horrible. It was the first time that I went, hey, not everyone's gonna live forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I was in my 20s.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it was sad when it was just like, yeah. Whoa.
That was crummy. It was early. And it was. It's not then. We all loved him, so.
Yeah.
I mean, for guys like our generation, it's from us. That's our guy.
Yeah.
You know? Gee.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's stinky.
Who else did you, just making sure everything's recording, who else?
Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
He was ahead of him, and he died. And
We had Mike McDonald in Boston, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He died. And then, some of the guys in Canada that stayed had very bad ends to their... They stayed in Canada. They never really turned into anything, and it never... You just expire when that happens to you.
Yeah, there was a question I wanted to ask Howie Mandel. I never did, so I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm.
You came over in 1989. It wasn't easy to come over, right? Did you say 86 or 89?
No, 96.
96. Yeah. It wasn't easy to come over.
It was.
It was?
It was for me.
Oh.
Because of Bud Friedman.
And how's that?
Well, he gave me gigs, so I made a living.
Hmm.
That's why you fail here. You don't have any gigs to do when you
free. Do you work for the Improvs now? Did you take my date in Brea?
No. Here's what happens. When I moved here, Bud was booking everything, and he saw me at the Montreal Comedy Festival, and he said, "You got to move to LA, and I'll put you on all the time."
It's great.
And he did. It wasn't a lie.
Mm.
And that's why I stayed.
Bud was always very good to me, to the point that I did his birthday show.
Yeah.
When he turned, I think, 95, it was me and it was Leno, and he handpicked me, and I thought, what an honor.
Yeah.
What an honor. You must have been out of town, because he loved you.
He used to introduce me every time I went on stage.
If Bud liked somebody, he would come up from his booth in the front of the club and introduce you.
And he was a big deal when that happened to you, and the other comics hated your guts when he did that, and he would do that for me all the time.
I'll tell you why when Bud owned the Improvs. Comedy clubs were not always just a business.
Mm-mm. It was a family, and it changed.
They loved comedy, and they wanted good comedy. Yeah. They didn't want somebody that just sold out.
Nope.
They wanted somebody that was funny.
They wanted to be proud. We have this guy, and we have him, and he's at our club. That's the way it was. And
you would go, you go see comedy at Yuck Yucks or McCurdy's or the guy in Michigan, Royal Oak, Ridley's,
Mark Ridley.
You go to Mark Ridley. The Improvs, because they're owned by a person that loves stand up, and they want their customers to come back every week. Doesn't matter who's on stage, because they're going to see somebody funny.
Mm-hmm.
That has changed in our lifetime.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, it became all about money.
Yeah.
And ticket sales. Well,
when it becomes about money and ticket sales, what do you lose? The joy of the thing. It's all gone.
How do you promote?
Me?
Yeah, because that's what it's all become now.
On the internet.
Promoting. How do you promote? Do you make videos?
Yeah. Well, I run my clips. I'm really lucky that I have a massive library from doing stand-up. And so do you, from doing stand-up for years. And our stuff is different than other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. So you put it up and, you know.
I think it's fascinating because I am now releasing my last special. I did Mark Maron's podcast. I put up my special More Than Loud on YouTube for free. Mm-hmm. Tried to sell it to Netflix.
And?
For a dollar.
And?
They didn't want it, from what I heard. I just think it's funny that I would just
give this
away. I
wonder who's passing on that.
I would give it away. Have you seen my special?
Mm-mm. Which one?
It's called More Than Loud. It's now...
Is it the one that was on...
Showtime.
Prime?
No, it is on Prime now.
Yeah.
Over 5 million views on YouTube.
Why would they take... What did you do to piss them off?
Who knows? So, I don't think they're mad at me. I just think I don't fit what they're looking for.
What?
I don't know. So, we're taking clips and putting them up.
Is it time for Orny Adams to start shaving his legs?
I have no hair. Did you know this about me? Look at that.
I'm the same.
I have no...
You know what happens when you're a Jew and you're on the treadmill? All the hair of your legs falls out.
What does that mean?
It means you're running too hard. It means don't put it up too heavy incline.
Yeah. So I put these clips up. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
I put these clips up, and it's fascinating what annoys people in this world.
Oh, everything, man. You can't say anything. It's fantastic.
They're upset. I made it. I put up... It's,
oh, I love it.
From the show we were on the other night at the Improv. This is what I love about the internet. I put a clip up from that show, a stupid throwaway line about me being upset about this eclipse, and I'm sick of the coverage of the eclipse.
Okay.
And then off the cuff, I said, I didn't even care when E.T. flew in front of the moon.
Okay.
Just a throwaway.
Yeah. It's an image that everybody has in their head.
It got a big laugh.
And?
I put the clip up yesterday. 3.3 million views.
Yeah.
People are furious. How dare I make fun of this sacred solar eclipse? How dare? There must be something missing in his life. Like, he's not fun. Like, people get so enraged about everything. It's sad. Do you run into that?
Yeah. Yeah. But I find that people who leave horrible reviews on your videos are mostly anti-Semites.
Is that what you blame it on?
Yeah.
Can't be that you suck.
No.
Or that topic wasn't good.
Well, I'm in front of 3,000 people. You can hear them laugh. They're telling you you're wrong.
Right.
So what are you writing there?
I love that.
I mean, my God.
Right.
What else didn't happen? Oh, the Holocaust. Right.
By the way, yeah. By the way, yeah.
That's why I do that to them. That's why I say that, yeah.
I don't mind if somebody says, I didn't find it funny. I didn't like it,
but to go, you're not funny when 3,000 people are dying?
Right.
Forget it. It's you, sir. You sound stupid. I'm glad you weren't there, and you're never getting in to see me because you're blocked now because you can't tell what is good when it's right in front of your face.
Right.
End of story.
And what's your need to say that?
His need is that he can't do it, and he hates your guts because you can. And that's it.
He's the arbiter of funny, right? Oh, yeah. He decides that's just not funny.
Yeah.
He knows, or she knows.
Okay, sitting on his couch, picking his fingernails with that toenail clipper. There you go.
So we both we both put in text messages to our friend Bruce Hills in Montreal, and
he's doing okay.
Yeah,
because that's not a good thing. I mean, at the end of the day, the guy's out of work, right? Yeah. I mean, if there's no festival, then nobody's getting paid. Am I right?
So this festival was it's how we met. That's why I keep bringing it up.
Well, this is our legacy.
Right.
Jesus.
It's a big part of my past.
Me too.
And the festival announced abruptly this year that it would not be coming back. The Montreal Just for Last Comedy Festival, which we'd go every year, now not coming back.
For how many years in a row? The 80s.
Oh, it's like 30.
At 88, I think, or something, right? What number was it?
It was over 30, 35, 40. And they would make that video every year, the compilation. We'd be on that video.
Yeah, I know.
I was a go-to guy. They would put on a gala every year.
A lot of the time, I would see you there. It was good. Yeah.
And we did a tour together. Remember that tour?
I took over for someone who dropped out,
Tom Papa, what happened?
I don't know. I think he had another gig.
Yeah.
And so I came in and I did 6 shows.
That's right. So we did a national tour.
A mini tour thing for me. And then he came back and did the end of it, is what happened.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that, working with all of us?
Oh, I like doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started doing those and then I did my own thing. So, it started with those. You know that? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask. What was it that broke you through in Canada? So for the people... Jeremy plays, you play theaters in every market in Canada.
Uh-huh.
You go up there once every 18 months or 2 years.
Yeah, something like that.
And you make all your money.
And then
you do nothing.
Yes.
Right. You do nothing but start fires in the garage, fires on the stove. One time you were just walking down your driveway
and
tumbled and broke your shoulder.
I did break my shoulder.
I mean, how did that happen? That only happens to married people.
I think God is quite anti-Semitic.
Oh, God, now God is too? The God you pray to?
I don't know how that happened. I ran into a car is what happened. I was I had an automobile accident and I wasn't driving. I ran into the side of a parked car.
Is that true?
Yes. I fell off the sidewalk and my shoe came off at the same time. I had no chance. And then I flipped in the air, smashed into the car, landed on the cement, and my shoulder popped out of the socket and went into the middle of my body. And I just screamed, "I'm really hurt bad." And then there's a whole bunch of people around me. And then I passed out. And when I woke up, there was a fireman with really bad breath. He's leaning right into me, and he goes, "We're going to get you in the ambulance right away." And I went, "Ugh," like that. That's what I did. That's how I came to, with a bad breath fireman in my face.
Gross.
Getting me back for starting a fire in the dumpster, I think.
How many times have the firemen been to your house?
Twice. Those are the two times.
What about the dumpster fire? That didn't?
Yeah. Yeah, they came to that too.
So that's three times.
Stove,
dumpster fire.
That's it.
And then you flying into the car.
Oh, that, I didn't call. No, that wasn't from a fire. I just fucking.
I'm just saying.
You know,
in general,
I had to pay $150.
Good.
When they take you to the ambulance.
The first two are free, Jeremy.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. They had to drive me to Cedar Sinai Hospital. It cost $150. It's a half a block from where I live.
Yeah.
So, you cheat. Bastards!
Should have taken a black car.
Oh,
should have black car Ubered. Did they do anything to you in the ambulance that made it worth $150?
I don't know.
Nothing.
I was out.
Really?
I was out.
And what did you do? You broke your shoulder?
I broke the hole that the shoulder part goes in.
Oh.
And it popped out. So they had to repair that and then stick it back in. Took two operations.
How is it now?
It hurts every day. Because he was a bad surgeon.
Oh.
You know?
Interesting.
I think he was just a pilot faking it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so he hurt me, and it hurts every day, but I got the dog, so that
So you're saying that, let's get back to Just for Laughs tour. You're saying that tour is what launched you, did nothing for me, and it launched you? You were already huge at that point.
No, I had just did my first special in Canada, which was on television, and they toured me. And the combination of the two things blew me out of the fucking world.
Okay, so they toured you prior to the tour that we did. Because you were, I remember we played that theater in Ottawa, and you had already played it as a solo act.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Look at you all cocky. I love it.
Well, fuck. I was the guy that had to run across the entire country back and forth. You've done it.
Yeah.
It's not an easy tour.
No.
Canada's really big, and the theaters are really far apart.
And you end up taking, like, weird, like...
Little planes.
A commercial flight that's 12 minutes on Air Canada, airplane. Yes. Like the ones that land in the water.
Yeah.
It's all sorts of weird adventures.
Yeah.
And you do go to some bizarre, it's like a movie, some bizarre.
You know what those things are in the water that land in the water are called on a plane? Do you know what those are called?
No.
Pontoons. You know how I know that?
You were in Vietnam?
The second year in comedy. I was working with a guy named Chris Finn, and a woman walked in with really big boobs, and he went, "Look at those pontoons."
Oh, jeez.
And I never forgot it.
Oh, the before Me Too movement.
Well, listen, man. You know,
what's going on with the Maritimes, Newfoundland, and their own half-hour time zone?
Yeah, they always have that.
Yeah, can't they just be closer to normal? They're already not normal. Could they?
They are not normal.
Yeah, could they? You're going to stand out more. Do you know what I mean? Like, by doing that.
My sister was a kid, and we went to Newfoundland for the first time. She leaned in and went, "I think these people are mentally challenged." And that's not the word she used.
Yeah. We played there for the Just for Laughs.
Yes.
The Newfies.
Yeah, they're great audiences, man. Yeah. They're really good, you know?
I love all of Canada. I don't think I've ever had a bad show.
Because they're smarter people. They are.
I don't know if they're smarter.
Oh, I do.
But
oh, yeah.
I think you do? Oh, yeah. Than Americans?
Well, no, they read, you know?
You don't think Americans read?
I think Americans read about stuff that's American. And if it isn't American, they don't know a goddamn thing about it. And I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Canada's more universally well-read.
Does America deserve the reputation that it has? I mean, people just...
No. They're gonna hate the guy that got the strongest army, right? Everyone is.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. I think Americans have... the attitude of Americans, of I'm better than everybody, other countries find horrible, but living here, I think it's fantastic.
Do you think America is better than everybody?
I think it's a good place to live in this world right now at this time.
How about Canada? Is America better than Canada?
In what way?
I don't know. You tell me in broad terms.
Okay.
If
I had to choose, I would take, at this point, American for the cell phone deal I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys still have that shitty...
It's bad.
Vodafone or whatever it's called?
No, it's just way more expensive in Canada. Because a lack of competition. There's very few companies, right? Here, it's T-Mobile going, "We're taking everyone from you." That's like still a war going on.
Yeah.
So you get really good deals, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know where the place that you should never go? I'm just going to point this out to you now because I've been watching TV. Stay away from Walmart.
Oh.
Let me tell you why.
Mm.
Let me tell you why. I watch those crime shows. Wherever the murderer goes to get the stuff, it's always Walmart every single time.
The cleanup stuff.
Yeah, the cleanup stuff.
Best deals.
And the murder, the axes and stuff to kill people, always comes from... Murderers do not shop at Target, is what I'm telling you.
It's too much. If you're going to kill some... If you're going to use an axe once...
You got to think of
why
economizing.
Pay full price.
Exactly.
I mean, Target is... You couldn't be a serial killer and afford it.
No.
Shopping at Target.
And you can't get it at Costco because you pay with your card and then they got a record of it.
And then you got 15 axes and too much bleach. And
that's right, a big, giant axe that you can't use anywhere.
Well, you know, these people, you bring up a good point, they murder somebody and then they go to a store where there's 500 surveillance cameras in HD.
Yeah.
Like, they should go to, like,
the convenience marts.
Yeah, the little place like that. Yes. They'll never get... Or...
Yes.
But, like... They're not good planners. Like, you have to know if you're a killer that you've got that urge inside you. So why aren't they prepared? Why don't they have a stockpile of bleach and mops?
I think some do.
Hacksaws.
But they never catch them, so they're not on those shows.
So you don't go to Walmart just for the chance that you might run into.
I just don't go to Walmart for that whole thing that I know.
I went the other day.
I know that I'm going to walk by murderers in the aisle. That's why I don't go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I went the other day, and I know you have a dog. There were more people with dogs. It looked like we were at a kennel.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's just everywhere.
Yeah,
and then some lady, I find it a little annoying.
Because
I love that you have dogs. I love people that have dogs. But out in public, like we went out to eat the other day, and on the patio, the tables are very close. This is a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
There was a dog. They brought a dog bed and a bowl. I mean, the dog basically moved into the patio and then comes running over to us. And
the dog bed is ridiculous. That's what a stupid thing to do.
Okay.
Like, honestly speaking.
So I go to Walmart, and then one lady, she had two dogs, okay? I took a picture of it, and then she went into the aisle where the food was.
Uh-huh.
She took two bags down and said, okay, boys, which one? And the dogs got to vote and pick a bag.
Yeah, okay, she's not married. She never has been either.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's up to the dogs.
Is she a Walmart serial killer? Yes or no, Hots? Hiding behind the dogs.
No, she's going to be a victim, though. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a really strange place. I just don't like a Walmart. I know they don't give a lot of money to charity. Every time they say something about it, it's a horrible place. Never go there.
Yeah.
And then you see it on the crime shows, and you're like, hey, maybe they're right. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't go there.
All I know is when I go to Target, I'm in and out in a half hour. I know where everything is. It's easy. I went to Walmart. I was probably in there for 4 hours just walking around going, where's the, like, none of it was laid out in a way that was intuitive. So I kept having to ask, like, where's the ketchup? Yeah. There's mustard's right here. Where's the ketchup? Oh, no, ketchup's in Hardware. I go, what?
Do they sell food in Walmart?
Oh, they have a ton of food. I bought great blueberries.
Is it always stuff? Oh, it's like produce? It's not just stuff like
produce,
ketchup?
Everything.
Really?
Yeah. They have everything.
So you can get milk there.
Oh, yeah, half and half.
Oh, really? I never knew that. You see how I don't go to Walmart, eh? See?
You and I should go together. We should go together.
Then we'll get thrown out together.
Look for some serial killers. I like this theory.
We should film it. We should go in there and shoot it and see how we get kicked out.
You know what I do? Sometimes when I'm on stage, I look out and I think, I wonder how many people here have murdered somebody. How many people are dying, have
cancer.
Here's
what you shouldn't think. You should never think how many people are sitting there with a gun in their pocket. Never think of that.
Yeah. I've seen guns at shows.
I don't know.
Scary.
I've seen some stuff.
I'm putting a clip up tomorrow of the Canadian that was in the audience at our show, who was a prepper. The guy.
What's a prepper?
Ready for the apocalypse.
Oh yeah, those crazy guys.
The nut.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy with his guns and his baked beans.
He was Canadian.
He was Canadian.
What a moron.
I said, when did you guys become like us?
Yeah.
And then he said, he goes, I have a lot of guns, so don't come to my house. And so I said, I'm not going to Canada if shit goes. I'm not going to a lesser developed country.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's really funny. He really was like that, eh?
Yeah.
Canadians really aren't. They're not really gun people.
No,
they like knives.
Saskatchewan or whatever they are.
Oh, well, no, they have rifles.
You got some real white trash there, too.
Well, so does America.
Oh, yeah.
You know, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Get down, buddy.
Come here.
He's sweating on me a bit. It's what's happening. Sit it's down. The time of year where he actually sheds. So
oh, great.
This is the time.
And now
of
he's
year.
Shaking.
Yeah. Well, he's got to go
come
up.
Here.
Oh, look at him. Look at him. He's going Uncle Ernie.
Come.
He's going Uncle Ernie. Look at
you
that.
You are sweating.
Let me take a picture of that. Because I'll take a picture of Ernie holding Shacky, and then I'll put it on my thing and say I did your podcast today, so I'll plug it.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Can I see what it looks like? I want to see if I look good.
Perfect. You got crazy eyes. Look. Look at you crazy fucker.
He is sweating, huh?
Yeah, I was holding him.
Wow.
Yeah.
This dog really helps you a lot, doesn't it? Relaxes you. You bring the dog on the plane.
And right now. It's cutting on me.
Yeah. What drives Jeremy Hotz crazy? What's wrong with Jeremy Hotz? Well,
me?
End with this.
I'm crazy, man. That's the thing. Although everything's going really good for me now since I have new management, right?
Who do you have? You're always switching
Adam
management.
Adam Hertzfield.
Okay.
Now. So he's looking after me right now, so I'm in a really good place.
Canadian guy?
Yeah. But international, eh?
So, you know, I have no reps.
Why do you do that to yourself? Why do you do that? Come on, man. You got specials and stuff on. You should. That's ridiculous, Ernie.
Yeah.
What?
Doing
age?
It myself.
Is it an age thing?
Might be.
Might be. You're not old enough.
Might be. Mm-mm. I don't mind doing it myself for now.
Well, they said they kick you out of comedy when you're in your 50s.
Well, I'm there.
I'm 60.
I'm there.
Are you still here? Come on, they're not kicking us out. You understand that, right? Okay.
No, I know we're not going anywhere.
No, we're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere, even though Brea kicked me out.
I'm
going
to phone them and go, what the hell?
Yeah, I'd like you to do some intel for me.
I'll do that.
I need you to call people in Ottawa. What's going on in Ottawa?
There's nothing wrong with Ottawa.
No, I got to sell tickets. I got to sell the place out.
When? When are you going? Saturday?
Yeah, October 11th.
Oh, you have time. You'll sell it out.
That's what I said, but Howard...
You'll sell it out.
You know, when Howard sent me a text message, and he said, or an email, and he said, hey, can you put together a video for us?
Then do it.
Yeah, I did it already.
Okay.
But that's when I say, uh-oh, ticket sales are
bad. But then he will, and then he'll put it up, and then it'll sell. You'll see. You know, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. Do you worry about ticket sales? Mm-mm. I'm obsessed with ticket counts.
I don't care.
You don't care? What if it's not busy? What if that happens?
The worst it's going to be
for into me. The mic. I don't know the if you've
worst
ever
it's
going to
be is more than 3/4. So who cares? Honestly,
less than 3/4,
no.
Or at least 3/4. You're saying
it will be.
Are you as tortured as you appear on stage?
Yeah,
you are.
Oh yeah, you know it's an extension of my personality, but I get like that. Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's not easy, huh?
No, not so great. I'm. It's not an easy life for Jeremy. Mm. You know what I mean?
Did you always do this?
Yeah, I've always had problems.
No. Always do stand-up.
Yeah, because I wouldn't... I did stand-up by default. I tried to get jobs, but nobody liked the look on my face, so I never got anything.
Have you acted?
I mean? Yeah. I do. I can act, and I can do stand-up. We're done.
Where's your next date?
The stand-up wise?
Yeah. What's next?
What is next? Is
like,
it
where do people find you? They go jerryhotz.com.
Now I'll be at the Laugh Factory and the Improv again.
Again? Tonight? Yeah. I'm at the Laugh Factory.
Not tonight. No, but
tomorrow
again,
night?
Again.
I'm at the Laugh Factory. Oh, good.
I thought you only went once a week.
Well.
What happened?
I can tell you what happened.
Okay.
Something's happened in stand-up comedy. I'm looking at the camera. It's with great excitement that I announce that there are producers producing shows now that pay the comedians very well.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll go out during the week. The Laugh Factory is 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
And, well, tonight, this will air tomorrow, so it will have happened. Ruben Paul's.
Ruben's
It's his birthday show.
Show, yeah.
I'm doing the Comedy Store with Sam Tripoli.
What happened to Tehran?
I don't know. Is he okay?
I don't know.
Don't hit this. Cause
Is he going there anymore? Oh, you don't.
Let's end on this because you had some really interesting insight about me at the beginning without mentioning names. What do you feel?
About what?
About me.
What's wrong with you?
What you said into the mic. I know you want to get close to me. Like, what? We were talking about this business and things that have gone wrong and how certain people can wrong you without naming names.
Right.
What do you feel? What do you feel as an outsider looking at Orny Adams?
I feel that you're on a track to be legendary and you don't have anything to worry about. I believe that.
What does that mean, legendary?
It means you're going to be around, like you'll be like George Wallace. You'll be around. It won't kick you out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're past that now. I just recently passed that, so I'm okay, but it was touch and go for a minute. You never know what's going to happen.
But we were talking off camera, we won't say names, that we've all been wronged by people in this business. Mm-hmm. Do you think there would have been a healthier life for Jeremy Hotz outside of this business?
I don't know the answer to that, if things were better for me, if I would be less anxiety riddled. I have no, they say, the experts say no, this is the way my brain works. Poorly.
Yeah. But you wouldn't be in a business where you face rejection every single day. And your people like you according to how many tickets you can sell.
Yeah.
Like it's disgusting.
And then other people hate me. It's amazing. Eh? Like there's no median there.
I don't hear people that hate you, Jeremy. I don't. I never hear your name. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that they hate
you. You're not talking to the right people.
Except for you.
I hate myself.
Except for Jeremy Hotz. I want to thank my guest, Jeremy Hotz. Do you have a website? What do you got?
Yeah, it's called selfloathing.com.
There you go. Jeremy Hotz, stand-up comedian, will be in Halifax.
Yes. And follow me on Instagram. I've had a real good thing going on Instagram.
What's going on Instagram?
Well, I have 4,000 followers. That's it. Did you know that?
That's a lot.
And then I put a video out.
Yeah.
And now I have like, I don't know, 28?
28,000.
In no time.
Wow.
I just decided.
Are you new to Instagram? It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Where you been? Facebook?
No, I didn't really do that, and now I am.
You got to. You had a podcast. What happened to your podcast, Jeremy Hodge?
Stopped doing it. The radio thing. We stopped doing it.
Why is that?
I didn't like the guy I was working with.
You don't like the guy you're working with a lot of things, yeah. Didn't you have a podcast too, or no? I keep telling you, I don't know. How many years have you been in this business? Got to stick your big face into that microphone.
I like doing stuff that doesn't really bother me.
All right.
Which is nothing.
Jeremy, where are your dates? On your website?
My dates are on my website. Yeah, I'm going to. I got a whole bunch of dates in Canada coming up, and then I got the Halifax Festival coming up.
Yeah, what is it, JeremyHotz.com?
And then here for LA, I'm on the 20th, I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena.
Nice, you'll love that.
Playing something or other, I can't remember the name of the
show. You'll love that.
And then what else? I'm at the Comedy and Magic Club on Saturday night.
Wow.
What else?
Doing 7 minutes?
No, it's more than that.
And 8?
Then what else? I think it's 9.
Wow, then- 9 minutes! Wow, you can really get into it then. April 18th, you can see me in Las Vegas at Kimmel's Comedy Club. May 4th.
Go see him in Ottawa.
Ottawa, May 11th. Los Angeles, May 4th at the Kookaburra Lounge. It's very important to me
that I sell out these
Kookaburra Lounge. It's on like Highland and Hollywood Boulevard. It's where the Chinese Man's Theater is.
Oh, yeah, right there.
Right there. It's a brand new venue.
Have you seen Jay Davis recently?
Love Jay.
Have you seen him?
Yeah, if he asked me to do... I'm looking into the camera, Jay. I'm not doing another one of your shows.
Why?
I'm not going to some closet... At a restaurant.
Why didn't you do Jay Davis? He's got good shows sometimes.
No, I love Jay. We all love Jay. We all do his shows. Congratulations, Jay, on finally being mentioned on my podcast.
Well, he helped the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, he was amazing.
When he started booking it, remember?
I agree.
Because it was doing so poorly, and then he turned it around.
Big fan of Jay Davis. Yeah. I really am.
He's really a promoter that actually, they listen to him.
Yeah, well, listen to him. He knows comedy.
Yeah, he does.
I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank everyone who likes and subscribes to this podcast. You know, a lot of people write reviews.
What do they say?
Share with people. A lot of good things.
Yeah?
People love this podcast.
Really?
Usually I'm alone. I don't have many guests.
Why?
Because I sit here and I just rant and I play clips and it's
what
chaos.
Clips of what?
You gotta watch the podcast. Listen to it.
I can't watch podcasts.
I pull clips off of movies, documentaries. Sometimes I go to Walmart and I interview people.
With an axe?
Serial killers? I sit in the axe section. I go, hey, what are we all using the axes for? You're not fooling me.
Do you watch those crime shows ever?
Serial killers to the axe aisle, please.
Do you watch those shows?
No, seriously, but you have a good point. Every axe purchase should be tracked. For sure.
But it isn't. And
let me
tell you how you get around that. If you pay with cash.
That's what you do.
You can just buy an axe.
Here's the other thing.
No, they don't know.
I bought a machete because you can see my trees. That's a weapon. You shouldn't be able to get that at Lowe's.
Can you get a machete in the United States? Can you just buy one at the store?
Oh, yes. I have them all over my house now.
I thought a knife had to be a certain length.
Oh, it's a machete. I got to show. After this, I'll show you my machete.
Because you call it a machete. It doesn't have to be that length.
Buy it at Home Depot and Lowe's. It's a major weapon with a sheesh. Sheesh. What sheesh? It looks like something out of a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Well, then you don't need guns here anymore. You just need a machete.
If you want to email me, the email is whatswrong@ornyadams.com.
That's good.
The
I like that.
You can go to teamwhatswrong.com for everything in this podcast.
Yes.
I want to thank everybody.
And don't put the apostrophe in.
These idiots would put an apostrophe.
Don't put an apostrophe in because you won't get through.
In the email.
Don't do that.
You know what if they do? I don't deserve to hear from them.
That's
I don't want to hear from them.
Apostrophe is not a letter.
Stupid people. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. That was fun, Jeremy.